All right, let's go to the one. Let's agree in prayer. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified. Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. Come, let me quickly to Mark's Gospel 16. Is that where we are? Yeah. Mark 16, yeah? Mark 16. Mark 16. We've been looking at engaging the streets. Engaging the streets. Are you Mark 16? Go all the way to verse 15. And Jesus came and said unto them, he says, go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, he that believed and is what? Baptized shall be what? Saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned. Now look at verse 17. It says, these signs shall what?
Follow them
that I believe. Hallelujah. Now, but what's the fundamental instruction there? Verse 15.
Go
ye into the world. Right? Go ye into the world. So he says, go into the world and do what? Preach. So the instruction to go is not just to be walking about. Is that true?
Yeah.
The instruction to go is with an instruction to preach. So how many instructions are there? There are two instructions. One is go. One is preach. Are we together? One is go. Whilst you are going, that is preach. In the real sense, to go will be to preach. In the real sense, yeah. But if you look at it as two different instructions, it will be go as you are going intentionally. You are preaching. Okay? It now says, and he that believes. So when you preach, your preaching categorizes humanity into two segments. Those that believe and those that don't what? Believe. Let me say it again. When you go, when you are preaching, your preaching categorizes humanity into two segments. Those that believe and those that don't believe. Now, if you look through, we've been teaching these things last month. In fact, one of the things I think I want to do with this series is to take out, try to pour out my heart to you all. Right? Because we've had so many questions from a lot of us. How do we preach? I mean, I got a couple of feedback from you all over the weekend last week. The evangelism was great and good, right? Beautiful to see that you could take into practicality the things you're learning in the local church. And that's the essence of the local church, right? We see things, we are taught things, and we practice the things that we are taught, right? So one of the things I want to do in this series is to engage you up. This series is to engage the streets, but I want to engage you all so you know how to engage the streets. Right? In fact, what I want to do for you all is to even teach you as much as the first teaching you should give your disciple. Right? Someone gets born again. What is the first teaching you need to show them? Someone gets born again. What's the first thing you need to teach them? Yeah, I want to pay attention to you. So I don't plan to rush this series, but let's see where it takes us to. Hallelujah. Because the essence of our Christian faith is to engage the spirit. Are we together? I told you an example of a man called Reverend Tom, who is actually the pastor of Christ Embassy. I made a statement and he said, in the last 3 months of yours, in the last 1 month, thank you so much, in the last 10 months of yours, in the last 1 year of yours, when last did someone stop you to preach the gospel to you? Think about that. When last did someone stop you to preach the gospel to you in your environment? The last time someone stopped me to preach the gospel to me was years ago. I don't think there's pastor on my forehead. Are we together? So it means the work that needs to be done is not as much being done. If people cannot randomly catch you and preach to you, it's as much as saying people are not really preaching. So another way to look at it is, when last did you preach to someone else? When last did you preach to someone else? And within this series, we've looked at what is evangelism. Some people believe evangelism is sharing coffee. Yeah, and to share coffee is good. Like I told you, to share coffee is good. It's beautiful to share coffee. But don't give people coffee without the true coffee. Hallelujah. Amen. See, the coffee of the Lord is the one that when it gives you, you never sleep. Hallelujah. Because you have eternal life. Mm. You are awake unto the Lord. Mm. Wait. What does coffee do to you? Makes you awake. And there's a divine coffee that comes from the bakery. Yeah, look at it. There's a bakery. A bakery is for bread. And the bread that comes from God's bakery comes with coffee. The bread, I mean to say, is the coffee. So when you eat the bread, you drink his coffee. So you can't be giving people coffee and Nescafe, 3-in-1. And not give them the one that is 3-in-1.
Leave it for me.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. I just have to say so. I will explain to those that I get. Because when I church, like everybody laughs, when others are laughing. But you are not knowing for that Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Right? So in the real sense, you must ensure that the practice of preaching the gospel is a deliberate action you take, you make. Mm-hmm. Are we together? Yeah? If you don't preach the gospel, you have not preached the gospel. Hallelujah. Yeah? So it says, go into the world. And I told you that if you get successful in every area of your life, except the area which God has called you, is as good as you successfully failed. I'll say one more time. If you are successful in every area of your life, so people are so successful such that they are successful in everything they lay their hands on except the things of God. And I give you a quick example. Remember the example I always give you, right? If you have an exam, if you write an exam, some of us that wrote some difficult exams like that, right? 100 marks for theory. And the teacher, lecturer says, answer question 1 and any other 3. Out of 4. And question 1 is 70 marks. If you know question 2, question 3, question 4, question 5, and you don't know question 1, what will you score?
0.
Score
30. You score 30. Mm-hmm. Even though you knew number 4. Mm-hmm. But it's still F. It's still carry over. Yeah? You know what carry over? I don't know if they carry over here. We know what carry over is. The real way to say it is to receive. And carry over means throw it backwards and come forward. So you thought you left it behind is in your front. Hallelujah. Right? Yeah. So even if you answer, look at this though. They say answer 3 questions out of 4. Mm-hmm. You answer 4 out of 4. The maximum you can get is still 30. Mm-hmm. 30 over 100 is a fail.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know any country where 30 over 100 is 8. If that is the school, you are taking your check. Well, so, in the real sense, right, 70 over 100, but you know 70 over 100 is pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it means if you answer only question 1, and you don't attempt question 2, 3, 4, and 5, you've passed.
Yeah.
That's how the Christian faith is. When you come before the judgment seat of God, the only thing that matters is question 1.
Yeah.
If you like, build 550 billion houses. If you like, let them give you the LP, right? Let them give you the main prime minister. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Some of you are just getting it. Okay. Yeah. So let them give you the position of the prime minister of Africa. Yes, you are successful amongst men. If you like be the richest man in the world. You know that the richest man in the world without God and doing the will of God on the judgment day is still a 30 over 100.
Yes.
Let me say it first. You know the richest man in the world that elevates poverty from 500 cities is still a 30 over 100. So what are you doing with that which God has placed on your heads? We saw that in Luke over the last weeks, right? We said that Jesus said, come, you follow me. And the man said what? I will follow you anywhere you go. As you will be lying or let the lie, inshallah. I will follow you anywhere you go. But let me just go and quickly bury my father. What did Jesus say? Oh, Father, go and bury him. Meet me in zone B. Is that what Jesus said?
No.
I'm waiting for you in zone B. He called the Lord and said, you follow me. He said, you see, my relative just came from Australia. Yeah? If I don't take them to the airport, they will say I'm wicked. So let me quickly take them to the airport. I'll try and make it before 12. I know by 12 you're still talking a lot, Pastor. I'll try and be there around 11:15, 12. I know I'll still eat the meat of the word, because you always repeat yourself. Pastor, your first 1 hour is to repeat. So I read what you want to say. Pastor, I'll be there. Your message is the last. I told you someone heard me teach on some what happened in 3 days a couple of years ago. I said, so Pastor, you know plenty of things like this. He said, why do you always repeat? I'm like, imagine what is going to the mind of somebody. That somebody is repeating. Even things I'm repeating, I want to embarrass and say, come and teach me what I've been repeating. You know, there's some things you hear over and over, you can't teach it. You understand? You know, so in the real sense, he said, let me quickly take my family, I'll be in the church quickly. What did Jesus say? Use M8, there's traffic on A71. Is that what he said? What did he say? Let me first of all start with the one that he went to bury his father. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Do you know some of you, Jesus cannot be your pastor? You know? That's it. Sometimes, when I go through some challenges in this pastoring thing, I always thank my God. I was telling the leaders a few months ago, I said, if Jesus pastored Judas. Pastor Jesus pastored Judas. Who am I? Pastor Jesus pastored 12 people. Out of the 12, one denied, one betrayed. What is ratio 2/12? That's Jesus, your father. What I died at the cross. You understand? So, and when I think of this, I always encourage myself that, yes, do your best. But people, just leave it at that. I put command there. Anything you want to add is your choice. It's your choice. Do you understand? So Jesus looked at him and said, let the dead bury the dead. Let me say it again to you. If your pastor uses those examples, and some of you know how to do, I love sitting at his feet. Kiss the Bible. Some people, they kiss them. Have you seen people kiss the Bible? The word of God is the final authority over my life. I believe what he says. I'm who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. I kiss the Bible. The pastor that finished kissing, let me just go and bury my father. What did Pastor Jesus say? Let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead. If you do it in this world today, you will be shocked that they recorded you as a pastor. Hashtag insensitive. Hashtag. Tell you, all the pastors of this generation, all of them. What did you just not call people's money? I'm trying to say, I want to quote Jesus. See, you know, let me tell you something. Let me quote Jesus in KJV. Okay. See, you know, you go to amplify them, and I've said it differently, your message, and to soften your heart. Let me quote Jesus in KJV. Or let me even use the Hebrew word. Go and find the interpretation. I mean, the Greek. You say, this pastor, you are not emotionally intelligent. Pastor, your EI is low. Pastor, you may have EQ. Your EI is low. Pastor, can't you converse? Can't you relate? Can't you just understand with us now? There's a time to understand. There's a time understanding will not be needed. What did Jesus say? He says, let the dead bury the dead. What did he say to you? He said, you go and preach the gospel. He didn't just say, let the dead bury the dead. He said, you are trying to replace an action you are supposed to be doing with another action. So he says, you go and preach the gospel. He now tells them, he says, anyone who places his hand on the block and looks back is not fit. If Pastor tell you that one now. Gospel, I don't like all these young men. You just to carry beard and be brushing it and do skin cuts. All this your day, all this, you just to be spraying this and no empathy. Empathy. Do you know what it took you to have this Bible in your hands? Do you know the men that gave up their life? How many apostles can you point to that they died in their sleep? How many can you point to that they died in their sleep? They were sleeping, and to God be the glory. How many can you point to? This one, they fry this one. They fry one to the point they treat him on a desolate island. He still wrote a full book. Revelation. They put them inside frying oil. They wanted to crucify one on the cross. Say, my Lord and Savior was crucified upside down. He was crucified downwards of a baby. You get the point? You see, all of us, we know the story. We know the story. He said, you cannot crucify me the way you crucified my master. Turn me upside down. Imagine people choosing the way they died. One, the big stone. They stoned him to death. While they were stoning him, he was preaching the gospel. Today, church is 10 o'clock. You will not wake up until 9:51. That word is important. Because you know, a minute with God is like with church. You know church is 10. You put your alarm at 9:51. And at 9:51, the thing will still be like, you throw it away. You snooze. 5 minutes time, he wakes up. Until he wakes up after 10. Brassam is still singing. Brassam will still be singing by now. Sister Abby will back it up. And Sister JT, let's just, by the time I do like this, now we'll be shouting, say, let's pray for Pastor. let's just leave these people. I want to enter the, you know, I want the meat of the word. I want the meat of the word. You know, those praise and worship is just to pamper us. How many can you point to that they died in their sleep? How many died because of headache, migraine? They stole some out of the city. They chased them out of the city. They went to the other city and continued preaching the gospel. I'm summarizing what I've taught in the last few weeks. They chased them out of the city. Acts 7, Acts 8. Bible says Philip went to another city and started preaching. What are you doing with God? What God has placed in your hands? What are you doing with what God has placed in your hands? What are you doing? Even you're saying, some of us just believe that Jesus has suffered, I don't need to suffer. He has suffered, I don't need to suffer. There are people you are walking past every day and they are going to hell. Yeah. Not because God has designed them. To a very large extent, sometimes, because you didn't preach to them. To a very large extent. At least don't argue whether they believe or don't believe. You preach. That's the mindset Stephen had. Stephen was being stoned, he was preaching. Stephen did not say, let me defend. No. He kept preaching. And he says, how did he end his tribulation? He says, Lord Jesus, don't count this against them. God wants the chief of sinners to be saved. The work of Jesus on the cross sorts out the sin of the most terrible and dangerous man of the earth. That's how compassionate God is. You remember Wednesday we talked about compassion? That's how compassionate God is regarding the matter of being saved. The blood of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus is sufficient to save the worst man on the earth. Guess what? In their time, Paul was the one that had the consent to tolerate the killing of the Christians. That even tells you, after Paul heard the preaching of Stephen, he went from house to house to still continue his job description. But guess what? God had another job description. But thanks be to God for Stephen, who preached in the midst of tribulation. And he stayed preaching. And Paul heard it. That's the only thing that can make Paul's vision to make sense to him later. That's the only thing that will make it. There was a Stephen that preached. There was a Stephen that, and who is Paul today? You really can go to the church where you will not go to Paul per Sunday. Either your doctrine is his name was Saul before. Or your doctrine is his son name is Paul. Are you reading Ephesians or not? You are reading it. What mindset should you have? So Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Say, I will not keep my mouth shut. Say, I will not keep my mouth shut. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you need to do the work of an evangelist. We look through that. What is evangelism? What evangelism is not. So evangelism entails preaching the gospel, and the gospel has definite facts. What's the fact of the gospel? Jesus died, and what? Rose again. The gospel in itself is not just that Jesus died. Are we together? Because men die. Are we together? So if Jesus died and did not resurrect, he will not be, he will just be like the other men. But he died, and before he died, he said, I will resurrect. And he did resurrect. So that what? You have life. Now, when you have that life, what does that life come with? A responsibility to preach the gospel. Don't allow your pastor to be shouting every Sunday, every Wednesday. Preach the gospel, preach the gospel. Hey, pastor, I don't know how to go about it. Pastor, you know, I don't know how to tell people about Jesus, pastor. It's, you know, in my family, in our lineage, we are very quiet, we're reserved. We're reserved. But if you share a flyer for birthday, it will scatter everywhere. You used to invite people for, you know, there's people that end their living by sharing tracts. You used to give people tracts to advertise Long Reach or to advertise something. Where did Long Reach come from? Bless my heart. How do we know Long Reach? You know how they did with you. Yeah? You used to do Long Reach, you can take people, this screen, if you put it on this screen, I give you 3 days. You see this tells thing like this, it will dry up. And please, what's the difference between saying that and talking about Jesus? You see the difference? You are not as convicted about that as Jesus. Because what you are convicted about, you say boldly. Altogether. You are convicted, you speak boldly. So, the preaching evangelism means rather requires you are preaching the gospel. The gospel has definite facts. Definite facts. Definite facts. You know, so, one of the things I want to look today, I want to finish the part two of what I started 2-3 weeks ago, part one. Right? And it's really about how important is evangelism to God and how can we practice evangelism. But pay emphasis on how can we practice evangelism. We look through 1 Timothy 2:3. Say it is God's will that all men are saved and what? Come to the knowledge of his truth. Look at Luke 15. The Savior comes into the world to save mankind. And heaven rejoices when a sinner is saved. So does heaven rejoice when a sinner is saved? So what happens when multitudes are saved? Multiple rejoicing. Don't answer this question here, but answer it in your heart. Has heaven never rejoiced because of you? Has heaven ever rejoiced because of you? This is what was thinking that heaven rejoices when you buy a new car. Car that you can park outside before you come back, they scatter it. House, it takes one flood. Wait, what is it that man is building that cannot be destroyed in a few seconds? I'm not talking about cannot be destroyed and be bought and rebuilt. What is it that man that cannot be destroyed in a few seconds? And I call it public jet or private jet. Helicopter or helicopter. Anything. And there's that which has an eternal value that you need to place your emphasis on. How many times has heaven rejoiced because you won a soul? Let's even, before we get to won a soul, let's even emphasize on preach the gospel. Because a lot of times you preach the gospel, you don't know the souls you have. You know a lot of times you don't know the souls you might have won. Yeah? But do your own. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Stop people. Preach the gospel. God's long suffering is to see that all men are saved. All men are saved. So let's go to the practicality of evangelism. How do I engage the streets? I said number one, learn to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. Let me quickly show you something here. 1 Corinthians 12. Learn to flow with and in the gifts of the Spirit. Learn to flow in and with the gifts of the Spirit. Now, if you go all the way to 1 Corinthians 12, let's look at verse 6 quickly for our time, or verse 5, or verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same, what? Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, let me allow you to get there. 1 Corinthians 12, let me allow you to get there. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but what?
The same
Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but what?
The same Lord.
And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God with what? Walketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit the doubt. Look at verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge, or word of wisdom, sorry. And word of what? And another the word of what?
Knowledge.
What is the difference between word of knowledge and word of wisdom? Now, we said that one of the easiest ways you can say it is Word of wisdom is speaking about facts from the present backwards. A word of wisdom speaks about speaking about facts or things that needs to be done from the present forward. All together, right? You know, when you have meetings like believers meetings, we're going to have that next talk next Sunday as well, for instance, it's an opportunity for you to see how saints minister. And also an opportunity for you to learn how to minister as well and take that model to the streets. All together. Now, learn to follow the gifts of the Spirit. I remember reaching out to a couple of people, male and female. This was last month. When did I see you at the mall? Was it 3 weeks ago?
2 weeks.
2 weeks ago, yeah. So that day, 2 weeks ago. So I was evangelizing and we bumped into ourselves there. Yeah, and I ministered to someone, I ministered to a couple that I was about to preach to them. And they were saying, no, we don't have that kind of time. Then I called the lady's name. You'll be scared now, right?
No.
Okay, you will not be scared because you're in the house, you're a believer. I can tell you for free, you'll be scared. Well, how do you know my name? You're scared. You know, to me, that called her name. First of all, the first thing that goes to my mind is not things of the spirit.
Yeah.
It is, I know her from somewhere. Then what did you do? Went for that for my name. I won't tell you what I mentioned. It was very sensitive. Very sensitive. And you could see how her face just turned red. Now what happened? I don't have any business with your face turned red. Apologies. I'm sorry. Let me not be like Jesus. Let me be like Jesus. But my business is not around your face turning red. Your face can turn red. If I don't preach the gospel, your face just turned red. It will adjust later.
Yeah.
What happened? I now preach the gospel. Wednesday, we saw how healing is part of the things you can use to minister to people. Now, what I found out in a few years or months of preaching in the UK is that most people don't want you to pray for them. Trust me, I've spoken by 100. Barely a few have allowed me to pray for them. Over 100. I'm talking about the last 12 months. Over 100. Maybe because of what I look like, how I look like, I'm amazed, but I'm thinking of trying to start wearing suits. Maybe to change the way they perceive me. But I can imagine how scared it can be. One guy just carry beer, just skin cut, he just carry one gym trousers, and he's saying, I want to pray for you. Yeah, look at my heart, my problem. only one leg was pinning me. You have had the second leg to it. I can't imagine what's going through their mind. The few people I've been able to pray for are people who have interacted with them and by word of knowledge identify something that's not physical, an internal sickness. Or something that, you know, is not. I remember reaching out to one, I think I've told you this story before earlier on. Yeah, what allowed him to listen to me? He got saved right there. What allowed him, he's an Indian. What allowed him to listen to me was I've spoken about the health challenge of his mother. So I saw his mother in India. They know how he came to Edinburgh for the first time to write what do you call that exam of English, test of English? TOEFL or whatever. He came to Edinburgh for the first time to write it and he was living in Dundee or something like that. Right? There's no how I could have known that. So I described, in fact, what happened was he schooled somewhere around Europe, somewhere in or something like that. I described his profession. I told him what I do with this, what I do with that. I see him in the hospital, I see him doing surgery on the heart. He said, how did you know that? Right? So apparently he just finished writing an exam and his vision is to do cardiology and all of those things. I said, well, it's not written on your forehead, but I can tell you how to know that as well. So I started teaching gospel to him. I said, oh, I see an elderly woman, an old woman, seems so very close to you. And she has this sickness, that sickness, and it started from inside and it's now shown on her right leg. Where do you want to go to the king? Where do you want to go to? You can see them right there at Wavy Station. So a lot of times, yes, some people might not allow you to, but don't get discouraged that people are not lying to pray for them. Sometimes the interaction of people just by the Spirit, just allow the Holy Ghost to flow. Just give him a free room. He's always there to provide healing, whatever it is, direction, clarity for people. So one of the ways you can reach out to people a lot of times is what? You see, one of the things I look forward to doing is getting someone with a crutch, right? Give up his crutch on the street, right? and gather, and that by default will gather people for me to preach the gospel. I look forward to it. I've never done that. Never done that, but I look forward to it. So, I'm trying to show you we're all together in this journey. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah? Right? Now, you hear me talk about crutches today. Don't go and start with crutches today. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm not discouraging you. I'm a man of faith. Yeah? Let somebody have headache beside you and lay hands on the person. Let the headache go.
Amen.
If it doesn't go, you lay hands again. If it doesn't go, drop the power of God and leave to another person. Yeah? Because you know why? Some of us, you've never prayed for headache. You want to raise dead. The way the dead will die more, it will discourage you. Imagine when somebody was dead before, and before the person that was dead, that is, the eye was still blinking. Now the eye is all the dead becomes deader. And let's get that. If you have that experience, you will stop praying for people. And we together, you will be, because we are human, you will be discouraged. Pastor said we should lay hands on the sick. You should lay hands on the side, you come. Bah! Pastor just saying it. He just saying it. Why come this one and not that one? Because faith is something you exercise.
Yeah.
You build over time. You build over time. You build over time. There's a gutter you're supposed to cross. There's one plank. Your faith has not allowed you to climb the plank and get to the other side safely. The one you want to cross is Red Sea. The one you saw in your vision is Red Sea. You need to start somewhere. All together. So I'm saying, now you might start with crutches. That's good. What I'm saying to you is that if you start with crutches and nothing happens with whatever happens, I'm talking of when nothing happens to the perspective of man. Do you understand? Don't get discouraged. But build your faith. I told you, right? So one of the things you must do as well is learn to flow with the supernatural. Learn to flow with it. Learn to flow. I've rarely seen giving definite words of knowledge, healing, miracles, and all those things. I've rarely seen a situation where the person who is healed doesn't listen to what I have to say. Rarely seen an equation and a situation. I can't remember of any. I can't think of any. So learn to flow with the gifts of the Spirit. Like, sometimes you'll be talking to people and you're mentioning names, or some names just come to your heart. Let it flow. Let it flow. Do you have anybody to do? Do you have anything to do with this name? Do you have anything to do with that name? Do you have anything to do with this name? All together. Just let it flow. 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 Hallelujah. Let it flow. There's someone I'm seeing that's having. I'm seeing an internal bleeding of some sorts. Yeah. Someone who is here or hasn't read has that. I'm seeing an internal bleeding. I don't want to go into details more than that. Was internal bleeding. Who's that person? Internal bleeding. Who's that person? Oh, you know, so I'm seeing an internal bleeding of some sort. Who's that person here? Who's that person here? What to get you healed? Who is that person here? Okay, let's go for that. Right, so what am I saying to you? When it comes to the things of the Spirit, you ensure you allow the Holy Ghost to flow. You ensure you allow the Holy Ghost to flow. Praise God. Praise God. Well, the next one, we said, learn to take the initiative and recall it as your responsibility to initiate conversations concerning the gospel. I'll say it again. Learn to take the initiative and recall it. And recall that it is your responsibility to initiate conversations around the gospel. I'm seeing two names here. I'm seeing a Tope, I'm seeing a Tofu. Who has anything to do with those names? Right? Learn to take the initiative and recall it is your responsibility. Yes, so something after church for that person. Right, after church, right? Learn to take the initiative and recall it is your responsibility to preach the gospel. Look at Acts chapter 8, look at Acts chapter 8, 29 to 31. Philip, right? Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 35 to 37. Look at Acts 19, verse 1 to 6, right? And we said we need to ensure that we keep preaching the gospel to every and anyone we come in contact with. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Oh, yeah. So let's go into details of what we're talking about. How to witness to people on the streets. So I said one of the things where you can go around it is you can start by asking or introducing yourself or asking for their time. You can start by introducing yourself or asking for their time. So one of the things I said, I gave an example, is you can ask people, do you have a few seconds to spare? Or you can start with, do you have a few minutes to spare? And when they say they are rushing, you say, do you have a few what? Do you remember that teaching? Mm-hmm. If someone said they don't have a few minutes, what do you ask them? Do you have a few seconds? They don't have a second, what do you ask them? Do you have a few milliseconds? You must have one. How do you get that? A lot of time, your persistence allows them to stop for you. Because they're seeing you as, what does this, a lot of times, what does this boy, brother, sister, baby, what does she want to say? What does he want to say to me? So say, hello, my name is Joshua Yusuf. Please, do you have a few? Sometimes I don't introduce myself first. Because I'm trying to assume that everybody gives me 5 seconds of their time. So I'm trying to use the 5 seconds of their time to say something. Do you understand? So rather than my name is Joshua Yusuf, I've been starting to say Joshua here. Yeah, Joshua here. You can call me Josh for short. And that was long. Yeah. So you would ask for a few minutes. Or ask for a few seconds. And ask for what? Some milliseconds. Are we together? Now, another way you can go about it is, do you have a few seconds? You can now emphasize on what you want to talk about. Do you have a few seconds to talk about God? Right? Do you have a few seconds to talk about love? Do you have a few seconds to talk about love? Yeah? Now, don't go to the street and be asking everybody, do you have a few seconds? Do you have a few seconds? Nobody stop for you. Say, nobody stop for you. No. You should be persistent. Amen. Yeah. You to hear somebody ask you, do you have a few seconds? Do you have? You understand? If somebody stop there and say, will you stop? So why do you just think you just tell one person, do you have a few seconds? Everybody will just stop. What do you put on your tongue? Yes, and sometimes it works. I understand the point. But you must ensure that there's a sense of persistence. Do you have a few seconds? Try to insist a bit. And sometimes, right? Sometimes it just takes you smiling whilst you're insisting. I'm giving you tips, so it takes you to smile. Write smile in your notes, smile. Because some people forget to smile. Yeah? It takes a little smile, just a little smile. Not fake one, no. And then, Pastor said, you'll be smiling. Do you have a few milliseconds? People can be so the way they carry pastor's message, they will carry it to their head and carry it to the wall. Yeah, when I say smile, I just mean let loose,
yeah.
Don't be uptight. Mm-hmm. It's not contract you want to sign up, yeah, it's love you want to preach altogether. So, if it's love you want to preach, there's a way you should approach someone, yeah, not uptight. If someone asks you, first thing you do is look at them up and down. You as a believer. do I look at someone that's homeless? So there's a way your body should let loose. I'm gonna get to one. I remember I was in the hospital a few days ago, you know. And the way I greeted the lady who I was about to talk to, I was like, oh wow. So she said, it's so beautiful to so beautiful to have someone pleasant this morning. Mm. I know what I kept thinking about it. I've known this fact, but your pleasantries go a long way.
Yes.
In my mind, so she came to pick me, you walked in, she was in front of me. I remember I asked her, how are you doing today? She turned back and paused. I was like, who's asking me this kind of question? Now you tell nobody asks them.
Yep.
Learn to ask questions. I know, yes, before you need to talk, now at least you've grown too high. Some of you, they will look in your eye. I see some people on the road. I'm looking at them today, I'm saying hi. Am I wearing black hat? I don't have home. I mean, I'm homeless. I mean, I need food. I'm wondering, what does it cost you? What does it cost you? Sometimes when I look at someone, when they look at them, I'm like, this is totally original. It is not. I need food. I need your money. Yes. So if people are that way, don't respond to people that way. Don't say, I'm talking about this like this. You know, sometimes I won't blame some people. They were not like that. But people made them become like that. But don't allow people to make you become who you're not. They're more than that now. So people, you look at them eyeball to eyeball. So those present please matter. So when I saw she could smile, I could not miss that opportunity to talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
I made you smile. I want to get with Jesus. What my honor, your smile. I have to give you the Jesus that is on my lips. So you look for those. I told you about the kind woman I did. I told you two Sundays ago, right? She was literally maybe at that wall. I was at the door. This was the door. She's elderly. Right? What did I do? I was supposed to walk in. She was walking out. I stayed out, opened the door for her to walk out. I could see another woman running. It was like, oh, that's so kind of you. It's kind of me, but you need the girl. So you would do some kind. I told you, right? Yeah, you can be on the train. You see a pregnant woman, you see somebody, she's trying to put her box upstairs. Is that broken? So they say her phone is missing. Sometimes you give yourself excuses that don't exist. I've been doing this thing I'm saying to you. Nobody has ever accused me for this body and I told you back. Your hand has madness to pull. As I touched the bag game missing. No! We're on evangelism last Sunday, right? Yeah. Right? One of those doors, if you know Livingston outside very well, one of those doors, very single pathway. And I saw a lady carrying, so apparently I confessed with her definitely, that's how I knew. But I saw her carrying, you know, these Aldi bags that are big, those ones. So she wanted to give her some of her clothes she's locating. I wanted to give her to a charity shop at the store. She held one here, held one here, held one here, held one here, held one here. And she was just carrying like this, kind of this. So at first I passed away. In my head, I'm like, but that's not what you teach Joshua now. I said, that's not what you teach now. I said, sorry, do you need help? She don't. Before I go say, do you need help? Before I have help, you know, and I gave me the box. And I was looking at my Bible, you know, I'm sitting on the road, I'm like, I'm an evangelist, my Bible is under my armpit. The magic is diary. So she didn't, before I even asked, because she was giving me, God, I said, so sorry, she said, oh, I just want to leave this thing. Oh, this, that. Oh, how beautiful. How did you decide to carry this thing alone? You know, smile. I know I kind of smile that, yeah, if I have a black hand, this thing. But that made her smile, and I spoke to her. So I couldn't now preach to her, and because I didn't initiate the conversation, I fooled her to where she meant to drop it. Right? So she dropped it in one of those charges. So she lifted it, dropped it up. I wanted to just go, thank you, Joshua. And carry load for them. I buy the spirit guard it up. And you didn't tell me to carry load for people. Then I see other people, I go to carry your own. I was just looking at my head. So she said, thank you, Joshua. I asked her what's her name, right? Thank you, Joshua. I said, oh, sorry, I'm quick. I don't want to tell you that Jesus loves you. I want to be here. Okay, she gave me the physical fine. She could listen to me because I helped her.
Yeah.
I could have continued my journey. All those things matter.
Yes,
all together. So learn to start. So sometimes you will be the one to create a template as to how you want to initiate conversation. And I always tell you can have one method for evangelism all your Christian life. One method. One. Don't be scared of asking people, do you have a few seconds to talk about what? Even if that's all you know. You know why? Because people you are speaking to in the public, there's every chance they will never speak to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody's going to say, I saw one man like this. Me too, I saw him. Let's even assume that's what they say. Were you stealing? No, no, you are preaching the gospel. So learn to take initiative. Always learn how to initiate conversations. Like I told you, you can pay a compliment. You can pay a compliment. A compliment might not necessarily be you're looking so stunningly beautiful. That one you are doing past yourself. Tell you that a single brother. Together. If you want to die, don't try beside your wife. Don't be so any beautiful for your wife. Be true from the back and say, is that Jesus loves you? Why would Jesus love all of us? Yes, so you need to learn how to draw the line. Yeah? And you need to learn how to read the room. And sometimes there's some things I will say to a couple. I won't say to two male friends together.
Yeah.
And I won't say to two female friends together. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get there. I'll say to two female friends together. I won't say it to opposite sex together. Mm-hmm. All together. Yeah. By default for me, I usually aim and target preaching to, when I go out of my gentleman alone, I do that every week. Right? I target preaching to couples. Why? I have disarmed myself of the assumption that somebody might see me talking to his lady alone. And think otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know either the guy there is your brother. I remember last week Sunday I spoke to a couple. Right? I'm going to get there as well. There's a lot to get to. Right? And I told them a story. And she was following the story until I told her, that is you. I'll tell you the story I told her. Right? She must learn how to initiate conversations. Learn to initiate conversations. So, I, like I said, for instance, don't initiate conversation and don't end with the gospel. Right? The reason for initiating conversation is so that you will preach the gospel. Yeah? I always give an example of a group of friends. Remember that story? Group of friends I was with for about 3 hours, and I looked. It took me 3 hours to find where to slot in the gospel. I was persistent. It took me 3 hours. I can never forget. It took me 3 hours. They were talking of all manners of things. This artist, this singer, this. Until one mistakenly mentioned that you want to go and put a tattoo. Remember that story? She wants to put a tattoo on her back. Psalm 46. That you should have just said tattoo. When she said Psalm 46, I took it up. I won't allow it to slide. And I was there for another 2 hours more teaching. So we're there for like 5-6 hours. I took 2 for Jesus. But it took me 3 to build there. So be patient. Sometimes you be patient. But don't allow your patience to be over patient. There's patience and there's over patience. If somebody take your 5 hours, you don't know how to preach the gospel. If somebody allow you to talk, if they allow someone to talk for 5 hours and they don't allow you to preach the gospel, as they are going, call them back. Jesus loves you. I've told you. Do you understand? Don't waste my time just like that. Yeah? So for the love of God. You can tell them. So, one of the ways you can start conversation is, can you tell me about love? Are we here? Can you tell me about love? One of the things you want to do as well is to listen well. Even though you're not listening to learn, you can pick some things from it, but listen well. So, you ask me, can you tell me about love? And say, love is this. So, the moment they start talking about their perspective of love, you start injecting your perspective of love. Let me tell you how I start sometimes. So I start, for instance, by saying sacrificial. So they're trying to give words that explain love. And then I say, love is just compassion. It's just this. I say, do you think love comes sacrificial? They say, oh, yes. Moment you will get a yes from there, you're on the path of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus. Once you get a yes, who will say love is not sacrificial? Do you understand? So once you say yes, beautiful. Oh, that's lovely. Right? When you realize you have so much time, you say, oh well, what if I told you someone has paid a sacrifice for you? Sacrifice for your sins. I'll give you another example of what I do. So you can say, so when they tell you about love, you can also ask again, can I tell you about love? So you've told me about love, can I tell you about love? And what happens? You start painting a love story. Right? You start painting a story of love. Let me give you a quick story I gave. You can use story every day. Let me tell you. You can use story every day. Just changing the words. If you like, use the same word. Nobody is hearing you. It's simple. Simple. If you had a child, always try to put them in your story. You get that? It makes them interact because they are following your thought process, following your storyline. So you can either say, if you were a father or a mother who had a child, or if you are a child who had a father or mother. So for the you can use you understand the story when I give you. Oh, you have a father. You were accused of stealing. You see, be careful of your words. Mm. You know there's only thing you are accused of stealing and you stole. There's difference. You need to be careful with your words. Somebody will listen to you more when you say you were accused of stealing than you stole. Because people say, have you seen that picture of that person that's even in my dream, I cannot be poor. So somebody was trying to give an example. I say, let's just imagine that you were poor. When you say, even in my dream, in your imagination, I cannot be poor. Yeah, so people can be so pedantic out there, you know. I remember I did this one day, a couple years ago, in one elevator. So I was in the elevator and I was going up. So someone just opened it and said, going down, so I'm going up in Jesus' name. And that was a joke, definitely. I just laughed about it. But that's going to create conversation as well.
Yeah?
Going up, I'm going up in Jesus' name. I'm not going down. Go for Pete. Yeah, so you can always initiate conversation. So, you were accused of stealing. And the judge passed the judgment on you that you need to be put in prison for 15 years, 20 years. You were accused of murder. You can't be accused of anything. Right? And your mother hears about it and she says, or he says, or your father says, no, my child cannot go into prison. I'd rather go in his or her place. What will you do? So, wow, that would be good. Lovely. So your father goes, and your father finished spending his jail time of 20 years. And he comes out, and he asks them the same question. Can you be asked to go back to that jail on account of that accusation? What is the answer?
No.
There's something called the law of double jeopardy in law, right? Where someone who has served a punishment for an accusation, nobody else can serve a punishment for that same accusation. What happened? You have painted the story for them. I now tell them. Mind you, the story you have painted to them, more often than not, doesn't happen to them. Hopefully, it doesn't happen to them. Hopefully, it doesn't happen to them. Are you together?
Yep.
And what you say is, they just end it with, if I told you someone did that for you, how would you feel? Mm. Now, so loved, you have gotten them. That's what Jesus did for you on the cross. I've heard about Jesus. A lot of times, that's the first time I mentioned the name Jesus. I've heard about Jesus. You were supposed to be the one on the cross. The story of a man, God coming, becoming flesh, and was hung on the tree like other criminals of his time. Yet he committed no sin. Just like your father who went to the prison for you. You see? You see the conversation? Just like your father who went to prison for you, Jesus Christ wants to be your father in the fact that he went to the cross for your sake, such that you cannot go back to the cross again because he has done it once and for all. Is that a good story?
Yeah.
Like I told you, you can always create your story, but please, you can pass your story to me. Let me vet it first. Before you go and tell somebody that both him and his father and everybody in that jail, and nobody could remedy them. You paint a story about love, then you paint a story about God showing his love for humanity. Men were deep in sin. You know, I've used a story in this series a lot. What story is that? I used it a lot on Saturday, on Wednesday. Some of you are using me to cook beans. His spaghetti, you're using me to cook. What story did I use on Wednesday? I emphasized on a story from beginning to almost the end. Eh? Don't be there as if you are taking notes. There are no notes. What am I saying? Be careful. I gave a story emphatically. You people that see Christmas said, what church people were. I was trying to recall, what did I say that you want jotting? What are you jotting? I'm asking the question you are jotting. Are we together? Yeah, but give me a story. What's the story? The story of a sheep. Forgotten.
Yeah, the lost sheep, the coin.
No, yeah. I didn't teach of the coin. We read the scripture.
Okay, yeah.
But the story is about the sheep. Not sheep boats. Remember?
Yeah.
You remember? You remember? Yeah? That when you're on the sheep, what we do is that we see people perishing. We're looking at them. Remember that story? Right? You have come to the sheep. What happened? Eh? Sheep. It's not sheep. How do you pronounce it? Sheep.
I thought you were talking about sheep.
That's why.
Not sheep.
So you're saying all my story I did on Wednesday,
don't
I swear, you don't understand.
No,
just now. Wait, you know when I say boats?
Yeah.
When I say boats, you realize it's on sheep. Help me, sorry. I don't go to school well. Math is my favorite subject.
You have to remember that Jesus was a pastor
from
Judas, so you are
safe. Nice one. You know what she said? She said, I just acknowledge myself. I remember that Jesus pastored Judas. I don't remember the story. I'm safe. That's good. Nice one. See, when I give, sometimes when you take notes, you can write down the stories I give you. It will help you. So let me summarize the story. You were one who was in the ocean. Is it ocean or the ocean? My wife is always the one that. A lot of times my wife says, baby, you did very well today. She might not say it immediately. There's one she won't do on Wednesday. You did what, peradventure? Yeah, you know, so in the real sense, you're on the boat. So let me forget about sheep. So anytime you hear me say sheep, I'm talking about animal. So you're on the boat. Jesus was on the boat. And someone stretched his hand from the boat. And what happens? And they brought you onto the boat. How did they stretch their hand to you? By preaching the gospel. Paul says in Romans 1, the gospel is the power of God unto what? Salvation. So you stretch your hand from the boat. You were the one in the ocean. You were struggling for your life. And someone stretched his hand to you and you clinged onto the hand and he pulled you into the boat. How do you cling onto the hand? You believe the gospel. What are you supposed to do? When you're on the boat, don't close your eyes. There are millions of people who are also there. You also need to stretch your hand to bring them to the boat. How do you stretch your hand? Preach the gospel. Another story. Right? Yeah? So you can think about that story as well. Now, when you go through the part of do you have a physical question about God? One of the things you can ask is, what do you think about God and his existence? Yeah? I take note of this. What do you think about God and his existence? It's a tricky question, but you'll be all right. You want the answer? Okay, you have no answer. Okay, if you find out the answer is not answering, you say, sorry, forget about that first question. Let me ask you the question. What do you know about love? That's okay, the question. Yeah, so, this is another one. What do you think about God as existence? You listen to them, I believe there's no God. Yeah, you can try your best. For one who is deep into atheism, like I told you, I'm going to do a full series on how to engage universalist atheists and all of that. One of the questions you can ask them is really around, you know, I was saying last week, what if there was a God? What do you stand to lose? Everything. I don't believe there's God. Okay, what if there was a God? One of the questions you can ask again is, if you could ask God one question, what would you ask him? Listen to them. If you could ask God one question, what would you ask him? If you could ask God to do one thing for you, what would that be? Let me say it again. What do you think about God and his existence? If you could ask God one question, what will you ask him? Why that question as well? You can ask them why that question. Listen to them talk. If you could ask God to do one thing, what will it be? So listen to them. They will tell you one thing, they will ask God to do, blah, blah. What do you now do? You pay attention to, what if I told you there was one thing he has already done that surpasses this thing you're asking about? Right? I can link it back to the story of love. What if I told you that he has already done something bigger than this you're asking about? So we're talking about love, talking about God. What do you think about God as existence? This is what you have to say, right? The world cannot come from the blues, definitely. But if you are not so strong on the atheism conversation, leave atheism for now. I also can focus on love. Let me show you another question again you can ask. For life, I usually have this way. I usually go this way. Where do you see yourself in the next 10 years? Where do you see yourself in the next 10 years? Now, the goal is not to ask for the next 10 years, but more often than not, they will tell you where they see themselves. Married, with a child, whatever they call it. After 10 years, keep asking them, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, you push them to the point that they will say that. You get the point? What is yourself in the next 10 years? Oh, as we're done with university. Okay. After then, what will you do? Okay, get married. Okay, after then, get a child. After then, grandchildren. After then, travel all around the world. After then, they will get to a point where they will say, even if they don't say die, they will just tell you, nothing else. I just sleep and move on with my life. So that's the point to go away. You know, so what do you think? So from there, you can ask them, what do you think about life after death? Listen to them. What do you think about life after death? Do you believe in life after death? Then from there, begin to teach about life that God has promised. You know, the Bible is a book that has gone through history and shows us that God has promised life from the beginning. God wants man to have life, and God wants man to receive life, right? Right? What if I told you there was a life that has been given for your sake, such that you believe in that life on earth, once you get to that point of ex-death, you will still live forever because you have everlasting life, you have eternal life. So you can talk about God giving his life for our sakes, right? Another example you did there, you can talk about how God exchanged your life for his life on the cross. Right? He exchanged his life for you on the cross. You were to be punished on the cross, but guess what? The father who did nothing went on the cross and replaced you and gave you life. You can also use that story I gave you earlier on. Yeah? When your father is in the prison for 30 years or whatever year, number of years, you are free. When your father comes out of the prison, you are still free. Yeah? That's to show you have life and the way you can lead you to have life. So Jesus took your place on the cross that you might have freedom, that is to forgive you. So learn to listen to the answers and look for the... So a lot of times, it might not go as straight as I'm saying to you, but when you listen attentively, you will know where to come in. You will know some statements they will make that you will begin to get into. Right? Remember, your goal is to preach the gospel. Right? What if I show you the great... What if I speak to you about the greatest demonstration of love in humanity? Another way you can speak about love. What if I told you about the greatest demonstration of love to humanity? Where God created man and man decided not to follow the path of God, or man decided to stay in isolation of God, and God decided to come as a man to die for man, for men, born of a virgin mother, right? And he lived, grew up as a child. Some people, if you don't have enough time, even as much as possible, even those that have time, ensure you give them one of these tracks. You know, we've made these tracks available. Yeah, so ensure you just give them. Do you mind if I give it to you? There are some who say they don't listen to you. Do you mind if I share this with you? Yeah, a lot of times they read it. A lot of times somebody else, when they drop it, somebody else will pick it and read it. But you can give it out. That's the goal of it. It's not for, so don't go out to 20 and come back to 25. Amen. So the brother said, where did you pick the 5 from? I don't want to know too. So sometimes you give some people 20 and they're bringing 25 back to you. Where did they get the 5 from? Right? So I can also end with, I just want to let you, it can be as simple as, this is a trap. Oh, I don't have time. I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you and died for you. That's it. Just want to let you know. That's the gospel. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He died for your sins. And he resurrected for your sins. That person will not have any excuse to say he has never heard the gospel. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Nothing like that. Nobody has preached to me before. They preached to you. You hear, I be ignoring. Yeah? So you need to ensure that, you know, so, and also try not to be as complicated. Learn to limit, you know, complications. Yeah, somebody asked a question last week, I'm going to pay attention to it, how to deal with teenagers, right? So, you know, learn to pay attention to, example, now when dealing with children and teenagers, honestly, stories always work. So go back to that first story I told you about, usually works. If somebody will say, I don't believe in hell, I said, hell believes me. So in the real sense, so for a classroom setting, for instance, it's advisable, like I told you, when I tell you it's best to start in the classroom? Why did I say after is better than before? Okay, so after class can be a better time. I'm not saying don't preach before or after. I'm just trying to say after might be better. Because I got some people started the service of people that way as well over 5-6 years ago, right? And just started from the conversation of the lecturer finished talking. When we meet up after a class, you assume we are meeting up on the basis of that class. Mm-hmm. But remember, my goal is to end that conversation with the gospel. So what happens? I will stay with you until I get the opportunity to preach the gospel, right? So the classroom advisable to after class, and not when the lecture is ongoing. You know, amen. Pastor said I should preach. The man is shouting in front. They are saying, yeah, no, you can do it at a better time, right? Now, public transport, I told you, for the bus and the train, is advisable to be very straight to the point, even on the bus, especially if you are jumping from bus point A to point B and it's not too far. You might not have time to talk for long. Look at it. It's as simple as preaching the gospel. Jesus Christ died for you, and he resurrected for you, that you might be saved. Like, that's the end goal of what you are doing with all these stories. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the most important. If you tell stories and don't end with that important fact, you've not preached the gospel. You are just having conversations that were supposed to lead to. The gospel is about the facts of his death. So in the public transport, try to be fast about it. When you get to the bus, right, someone sits beside you, or you sit beside someone, right? You know you can actually go to sit beside someone, and as you're approaching them, you start to smile. Or when you sit down, they were sitting before you, you say hello. Or they come and sit after you, you can still say hello with the goal of what? Preaching the gospel. At the tram station, at the bus stop, ensure that you speak to those sitting around you. Right? Yeah, to ensure that you have that conversation. In the mall, which is what we do particularly in God's Palace. In the mall, what do we do? Like I told you last week, I said you can patronize them. Amen. Amen. But I put it in context. Not going to buy Balenciaga and say, you say you want to preach the gospel. You say, I don't believe in your gospel. So it's not my size again. You got it on the show. You know, in Nigeria, I used to walk a lot. Right? Go to a store. What will you patronize? No, it's not more than water. One water, one biscuit. Right? And they will allow you to sit down there and you will talk. Right? Yeah? There's some people that sell on the corridor waving. So anytime I want to reach out to them, anytime I speak to them, I want to reach out to them. What I do is I let them know I know they are at work. I let them know that anybody that stops, I will stop. Do you understand? So if I'm talking to you because you don't have a customer, once I see a customer approaching, even if it's just to sign and to look at the property, I'm not going to be continuing saying it's Jesus that no. I will stop and I'll wait for the customer to go. Sometimes I waited for one time. The lady did not want the customer to go. Don't have the shop. And you know the customer is not buying anything, you know. You just started a generating conversation. I said, so another person will win you. If I don't win you, another person will win you. I'll pray for them. Yes, so you don't allow people to waste your time. All right, so you can wait, give them 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Nobody should think your shop is on the corridor.
Yeah.
Nobody should stay in your shop for more than 5 minutes. But it's approaching 10, approaching 15. What else will win you? So you can look for somebody else, go off from there, but you can have conversations with them as well. And also don't buy more than what you can chew. Buy something basic. Right? Yeah. So and also be brief and straight to the point as well. Yeah? Now, when I'm amongst the crowded marketplace, another thing that like I told you is one of the things I'm aiming to do actually, the miraculous. When you get someone healed and people start gathering, right? That's not the message. It's a sign.
Yeah.
It's a sign. The message is not come and be healed of leg pain, no. Yeah? You can be healed of leg pain and not believe the gospel. You are still doomed for destruction. And you can have leg pain. I believe the gospel. We are saved eternally.
Yeah.
So which one is more important? Eternal. So when you get a miraculous done, you ensure that what? You preach the gospel. So for teenagers, yeah, I told you we can introduce ourselves, initiate conversation around ongoing events. What do you think about football? What do you think about this? And make sure your goal is to steer it up towards the direction of the gospel. And I said it's very important to display godly character all the time. All together. So that you don't starve or stand as an to the preaching of the gospel by your conduct. You know what I just said? It's important to display godly character all the time in order not for you to serve as an hindrance. Someone has said something to me before that if this person can be a minister, may I be a bishop. This one, pastor, I'm an angel. The truth is, that's a ridiculous thing to say. But why should they say it about you? I don't think someone would make that kind of bold assertion or statement without having seen something. Nobody made that statement from hearsay. There's something they will see. Your judgment time is 10 o'clock. You get there 11:55. You put 9:55. And some of when you write your 9, you look like 11. So that when they catch you, you say, can't you see 11 from this angle? You write your 9 11 just so that you just be there. I say anything they get from me, they get from it. Remember, used to do this to my father until they went to go and do fingerprint. You cut your hand and give someone to put your finger before you get to work now. Yeah. So it's the kind of conduct you have at your workplace. I always tell you, yeah, my conduct at work is in such a way that not my conduct can serve as an hindrance. If I've not done something, I've not done it. Are we here?
Yes.
Let me tell you, if you've not done something and you say you've done it, yeah, what are you doing? You're lying. We are believer that is lying. Who do you resemble? You know that song? Who do you resemble? We are lying. Yeah? So, if you think you don't know anything, I'm on it. I don't use the experience. I say, I'm on it, I'm not on it. You just open the document. No, let your yes be yes. One of the feedbacks someone had given me at my workplace was this. Said, anything you give church to do, and he says he will do that this time, he must do it. I can check, I'll send it to you on the group chat. What's he saying? Are you together? Yeah? Let your yes be your yes. Be a man of integrity.
Yep.
If you will not do it by Monday evening, your heart, you know you will not do by Monday evening. You know it's Wednesday you are aiming to do it. But you say by Sunday afternoon, I'll be done. No. I found out that if you tell people the truth, yes, it might hurt you, it might, they might look at you one way, but another day is coming, you don't know what they might want to place in your hands. Do you understand? And some of you, if you tell me that, if you tell me good morning, not yell, you say good morning, I need to look outside to be sure. If it's morning or evening or night, don't be that kind of person. Don't be that kind of person. Are we together? So be a man of the let your character not hinder you. I told you the story of a preacher who was preaching. Jesus loves you on the bus trip, traveling from one city to another city. They stopped at one place to buy pami. You know what pami means? You know pami. How many know what pami? You know pami, right? Yeah, how do you know pami? Mm-hmm. Oh, just word of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge. You know pami, word of knowledge. Yeah, you know pami. Yeah, pami is that thing that you take from the pami tree, right? Yeah, and it gets you intoxicated. Or that bought 2 kegs. It 2 kegs of pami he bought. 2 kegs. People that believe because they say, I don't believe again. You know that kind of mindset. I don't believe again. Mind you, it's not as if people that say they don't believe again, they don't do worse than that.
Yeah.
But when you won't go, your conduct matters.
Yes.
Your conduct matters. Oh. Jesus baby. Jesus baby, we see your picture. Nothing is J about it. Your Instagram page. Nothing J. So people will dress naked and simple some 110. You dress naked, you fool 124. What does that mean? Yeah? And that's why we live in a world right now where you know, people think that being associated with Jesus is like just for the gram.
Yeah.
Jesus' daughter, you have 25 pictures. None of them I can repost. I can't even like it. Because when you see, if somebody sees their pastor like the kind of picture, you say, Pastor, what did you see that you were liking?
Exactly.
Very true. Understand? You can live decent. You can cover your body. You can cover your body. You can be decent.
Yeah.
You can be decent, people of God. Don't allow our sister forgive you be dressing like somebody that does not. Amen. Yeah? I'm going to teach believers on one of these days very soon. Right. Get your conduct be solid. Jesus baby in the morning. Fine boys that love Jesus. Fine girls that love Jesus. And you are singing it. That's a canal song. That's a canal. That's a canal. What told you are fine? You post engaging the street in the morning. In the evening, you are in the street. In the evening, we look at you, we see street. And all you say, it's not even supposed to engage. Yes, and there's a lifestyle you should have. Let me tell you, your conduct matters. So.
Yeah.
Yes, God does not judge you based on your conduct. That's the truth. We teach you that. But your conduct can serve as an entrance.
Yes.
Your conduct can serve as an entrance. Every trending topic about the church, you are the first to post, you are the first to reshare. Your conduct can serve. Like I told you, don't get yourself mixed up in unnecessary conversation. Let your conduct be solid.
Yeah.
Have a good conduct. Ah, I know this sister, no matter what, she will not dress like this. So don't give ridiculous excuses when you are in the beach, you are in the beach, you are naked.
Yeah.
Why do you have to be naked? Let me look at this one today. Why do you have to be naked at the beach? Why? So someone will touch your body. I don't understand. You go to Montenegro. You go to Spain. But that good news, okay, that is good news. So he preaches the gospel alone.
Yeah, we need the gospel.
You just. I gave a quick example to someone. I said, if you were living in a room and you came to my house, right? You were living in a room. My wife did not tell me that we had a visitor in the house, right? And you just said, sister said, let me just quickly change my clothes while I go for my next meeting. And as you are changing your clothes in the room, you are at the point where you've removed your clothes, you are just wearing your underwear. If I walked into that room, what would you do? You cover yourself. You cover yourself and you wear worse to the beach. Do you understand? You see the lie of the devil. An opposite sex walks into a room with you in your underwear because you've removed your clothes. But you now wear that underwear. The way you even weighing was better than what you bought with your money. Some of you, the money you are used to buy those things is for, it's supposed to give to people that are doing missionary job and a mission field in Pouchy, in Bronu. And you wait. You know the painful thing? You wait and you snap. That's not painful.
You wait to snap.
You put some 110. Leave the Bible out of it. Leave the Bible out of it. You put some 110. No. Leave the Bible. Leave God's word out of it. What is holy?
Yeah.
You can be decent.
Yeah.
You can be decent. Eh? When I travel with my wife, we're traveling again tomorrow. We'll go to swimming pool. I'm not becoming my wife like that. I'm using it to contact creation. Come on, down, wear clothes. I'm unfortunate. Yes, so you know, it's just an unfortunate fact that we have more Christians dressed ridiculously than people who are not Christians.
Yes, sir.
The pastor is teaching you, engaging the streets. I travel with you, you are the streets. How can you be the streets? How are teaching you to engage the streets? And you are the streets. I've addressed that one today. Watch out for pastor. So for children, for teenagers, learn a lot of stories, learn a lot of songs. I'll be having a face in the next 5-10 minutes, okay? Learn a lot of songs. You can create songs from the things you are teaching your children. All together. Jesus died for me, he died for you, he died for me, he died. They will follow you. He is alive, I'm alive, he is alive. They will hear it. I am saved. Evangelist, and they are hearing it. So you can compose songs and stay with children. Then a lot of times stories work a lot for children and teenagers. All together. A lot of teenagers are the place of their life where they are trying to understand they'll get themselves. Sometimes you want to interact with them based on what you know is happening around. All together. Based on what is happening around. Be careful you don't use condemning words on people. All together. You see, I'm talking to you all about dressing half naked and not racist. I won't say that on the streets. All together. Because there are people that are covered that are still doomed for destruction. Yeah, but I want you to be saved and covered. So you are covered twice. Amen. Right. So you can create stories. You can and also learn. Now let me say this again. When dealing with teenagers and children, learn the art of repetition. Repeat a lot. Somebody would have heard what I said a few minutes ago. Now I said Joshua is condemning. Please condemn me back. Yeah. So, yeah, repeat a lot, go straight to the point, and also give room for listening. Listen a lot as well. Once you talk, once you repeat, listen a lot. Think about how many times I need to repeat some things to you as believers for years before you get it. So imagine someone who is not of the same ideologies with you. So repeat a lot, listen a lot as well. Listen a lot. Because when you allow them to talk a lot of times, it gives them an opportunity to express what they want to say.
Yes.
And some people, they have some things on their mind they just want to let go or let out. So listen a lot when dealing with teenagers. Then also, like I said, this is very important. If you know the answer to their question, don't be answering the answer you don't know. Yeah? Feel free to say, I don't know this answer, but I can get back to you on it. Feel free. Don't be ashamed to say you don't know something. Yeah? If you need to give something some study again, yeah, don't be ashamed. And I will advise you to a very large extent. You can reach out to me to see if I can answer the question. If I can. Right? If I can answer the question, I'll tell you straight I can answer the question. But let's keep it for another few years. One of the things you might not want to do is to go to Google. That's one thing you don't need to do. I beg you. You know why? Not because you need to, you just need to guard your heart. Yeah? You will see an answer. There's no question without answer. Not one. I've not seen it. You will see an answer. You will see. And the answer will make sense to you. You know why it will make sense to you? Because you didn't know anything about, let me say you didn't know anything. You didn't know anything about that matter before. Think about it now. If they say a Yamaha keyboard, right, is there's a pink Yamaha keyboard. You've never seen a pink Yamaha keyboard. But they can give you an answer, give you evidence, give you a picture. It will make sense to you. Meanwhile, you might not know that the pink Yamaha keyboard you see was sprayed with pink color or pink spray. Do you understand? That's what you have with a lot of answers you have online. Now, family members, very important. When dealing with your family members, your mother, your father, in the real sense, you need a lot of wisdom. And it goes back to the first thing I said earlier on. You must have a worthy lifestyle. Not the one you'll be coming back home every 11:20, 11:30. Your mother cannot sleep because they are praying for you. They are praying for you. Lord, moment you just knock at the door, your mother will say, ah, thank you, Jesus. But when you see her, she will act as if everything is normal. But she's been praying for you since 7 o'clock. Where is this my child? Oh, this child is looking for trouble. So there's a kind of, if your parents say, stay in the house by 5, if you are man enough, and you think you cannot listen to them, so go and get your house. You know, like I told you, when Bible says forsaking mother and father doesn't mean to be irresponsible.
Yes, sir.
If your father, I have a son, I say, get back home by 8 o'clock. Yeah, well, that's dancing for me. By your leg. No, sorry, this is okay. I'll cancel you in the world. I will stay with the world. No, I know what I went through. And I don't go through for it for my children. I have to ask my own. Children have a worthy lifestyle. There's church on Sunday. If Sunday your mom prefers you should wash her clothes, that's okay. You can either, there's a way you beg her, mommy, can I wash this clothes after church? She will agree with you. But sometimes one of our parents, they want to just prove to you that they are the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why they do a lot of that? Because of your character, your conduct. Your character, your conduct. Right? So you preach the gospel, and so you have a worthy example. Altogether, like I tell you, yeah, now a lot of times when it comes to family, you can start with one person, then another person, then another person. Did you get that? Yes? You know, my people say, all of you in this house, come and sit down, I have something to share with you. Sometimes I always ask you a question. Look at it this way. Someone was asking me a question. I said, if a disciple of mine says that their parent doesn't want me to come to gospel, that's what would I do? I won't tell you to disobey your father and your mother.
Yeah.
You're living under their roof. I said, because of the word forever. Because imagine it was my child. Because your parents wanting you not to go to another church is because they love you. They feel like before you go and hear the one that will turn your head upside down. You two that are hearing sound doctrine in quotes, if your son says they want to go to another church and you hear the church they want to go to, you say, feel free. Freedom. Is that what you would do?
Yeah.
And so you must give people some slack now.
Yeah.
If your mother says you are not going to that church, it will be it now. Why am I fighting with you? Yes, so there's some things you maintain with wisdom. And then you can be hearing the word online and go to the church, fellowship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only God's father that's teaching the word. Like I told you, somebody was saying the God's father has came to hear him, but the word has come. The best thing is knowing the word today. The word has come, the word has landed. Light has come, light has come. And the best, don't say that again. So people have been passed. John Knox was in this city.
Yes, sir.
The gospel knowledge is just by Jesus, the light of the word. Don't overreach yourself. You know, somebody says, you want to come to God's palace, just go to a church. That's what matters.
Yes.
At least fundamentally. Altogether. So you can start with one person. For my family, right, I started with my sister. I was like, look at her today. Right? I started with my sister. Yeah, this was about 10 years ago. I started with my brother. More than I got two of them on my page, I knew that was the end. Not two was left again. Then I went to my mother. Altogether. Then my father. There was a reason. So that the day you're talking to your father, you have three people that are married. It's wisdom.
Wisdom.
It's wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah? My father was a Muslim, became a Christian. There's no signs and wonder I've not seen him before. I like my telling that what you believe, you say that by fire is wrong. Where do you want to start from? Remember the day my sister started, you see her eyebrow that is carved like that. The first day she carved it, it's trouble. Whoa. My grandfather called me. I said, start going to the world. I said, joining the world. He's to carve the so at the point, I thought maybe she burnt the skin or something. Just she carved it. So you joined the world. What did I not do? You are the one in the world. Daddy, you are the world. In fact, I'm not giving you the world. Daddy, you are the world. I didn't do that. You are the world. I didn't do that. What did I do? You calm down, started talking. Guess what? I started opening scriptures, started explaining scriptures. That day I was coming, in fact, if you remember that period now, that was 2013. I was coming to the UK for a conference in Kent. They dropped me at the airport. My mom used to wear earrings before she met my father. And she met my father, earring die. By fire. Right? So my mother was without earrings for over a decade, almost 2 decades, right? Definitely your daughter will not wear earring now. My sister will not wear earring. They dropped me at the airport because I spoke to my dad the way I did, obviously with prayer at the back. What happened? They dropped me at the airport to fly to the UK. Before they went back home, my dad took my sister to buy her first magnetic earring. He said, oh, it's a earring. This was 2013, no? The first time she wore earring. So imagine what my father heard. So definitely it was a combination of my prayers, the words I spoke, not just words I spoke, how I said the words I spoke. When you're speaking to your elderly people, don't just be shouting at them anyhow. Don't just talk to them. Have a sense of regard.
Yes, sir.
I landed in UK, connected my phone to internet, 2013 August. I just got a message with a picture of magnetic earring from Mr. Price Jabi. Is that not where you bought it from? I cannot forget. And before you knew what happened, I started bringing my family together. Before you know, I was sitting with my parents, my dad was watching conferences. That was what led to Gospel House today. Gospel House started in 2003. I started teaching my parents, my family, gospel 2013. When he got to my dad here, he said he was starting church afresh. 2016, he renamed the church I started from the beginning. 2016. He came to church and said, all this I've been teaching people. It's like he asking Lego. I'm on learning and relearning. From today, name of church is Gospel. It was Gift of God Gospel Church. How did that happen? From a child in the family, not an external person. But mind you, before I could speak to my dad, for it to make sense to my dad, he has seen some things in my life.
Yes, sir.
Don't do this, you do this. Don't do this, you do this. It's the one they say you should not do that fits you more. Think about yourself. If you were the father and you had a child that way, would you listen to what they have to say? So why dealing with family, you can always start with one person, two people, one person, then people, then start gathering. That way, even Jesus, you would have seen that method as well. Eventually, you see Jesus and his mother and his son, Jesus' mother and his brother in Acts 1. They would be around for prayer till the day of what? Pentecost. But let me just close here for today, right? Look at someone around you and talk about the things you've learned in the next few minutes. Sorry, I beg you, God, let me add this one. I wrote it as key notes. I said, pay attention to your hygiene. Please write it, just sit down.
With family or
dinner. Please, what's more to preach the gospel? Pay attention to your hygiene. Yeah? I wrote it here, I don't want to miss it because I want to close this one today. Pay attention to your hygiene, pay attention to your appearance, ensure you are clean. Your mouth is clean, the body is clean. Some people can brush your mouth, you still have a smell. Bygone. Yeah? Everybody has different things that they are going through. That's laughing. If somebody come and open mouth before you and the mouth is, will you listen? So you two must put yourself in that shoe. Your mouth must not smell, should not smell. Yeah, you know, everybody knows themselves, right? And should have friends around you to tell you the truth, right? Also, so pay attention to your hygiene, your appearance, ensure your body is clean. Let your clothes be washed. Don't use one clothes for a dentist. Every year I go for a dentist with one clothes, and you don't wash the clothes. You spray one perfume, that your body perfume is stronger than the perfume. And you are going out to preach. So people are just wondering nobody is stopping. They say, Pastor, let me encourage us, and not everybody will stop. And you say, nobody is stopping. So pay attention to your hygiene. Wash yourself up, clean yourself up, stay clean. And this is not just for the gospel, generally. Don't come to church. And people cannot come to church again. You come to church, you have to go out for them to air fresh stuff from the hotel. And come and start spraying everywhere. Yeah, you can, no, it's, I'm very serious. You can actually be clean. You can be clean. You need to shave more. I'm being very frank with you. You need to shave more. You need to clean up more. Some of you need to shower 5 times a day. And that 5 times a day, you go to one shower of another person. If you find out that kind of person you are, use it. Some of your sponge are very soft. Buy hard sponge. It's very important. Buy strong, hard sponge and wash your body very well. all together. Use deodorant, use roll on. I don't say you go and break the bag and go and buy a perfume. Sometimes even if you're outside and being long there and you want to preach the gospel, but you think you affect that spirit sweat, go to a perfume shop. I think you want to buy one. Spray three. Spray four. Yeah, just test it. Yeah, just test it, right? Just test it. Wake up. Preach the gospel. I'm breathing. Somebody listen to me because of how I was made. Not bad, though. Oh, what aftershave do you wear? I said, I'm not that out. That's from there. He's like, my brother, are you? Were you here or you not here? Do you understand? Parents to hygiene. Also, I told you, for younger people, when dealing with your opposite sex, please give them space. When you're a lady, speak to a man, a young, and you clearly see a young person. Speak from afar. Man, your own is worse. Speak from afar. Afar. Just increase your voice. So, not, this is not the game. Come and stand like this. No. Be careful. Come when they stab you, I'll cut you. It's a poor preaching in the prison. Most of the letters were from prison. How do you know? He didn't see the Philippian Colossia. He wrote from prison. So be careful. You know, it's important. It's the reason I came for the last thing. You cannot forget this, what I just said. You forget everything I said, don't forget this one. Hallelujah. Speak to someone around you.